starting recording there. Now I'm recording over here, fully recording. The podcast will begin once I do one little check.
Sammy Guevara.
Oh, yeah. All right. Hello.
Lime. Duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa.
Shock the system.
Woo! Woo-hoo! Hey, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling. What an accolade, folks. Dan Black, a.k.a. Adunsky Black Amora, a.k.a. Donnie Capri, from that time I went to Italy. Hey, everybody, we're talking weather on the twos, politics on the nines, and flat earth conspiracy every other minute. Welcome to AJ Styles Radio, folks. Yeah, you don't want none of the truth. Coming at you like Cleopatra, baby. Gabba. This girl, she's mine. And hum. She's fine.
This is hot garbage.
What up, Jabroniacs? We are back at straight up college radio is what I do. You know? Yeah. It is straight up college. I was watching that like Mayor of Easttown show on HBO, you know? Yeah. And literally there's a shot of like college radio, and they're like, look at these guys, so young and innocent. They'll figure out their craft later, or all their fall off. And I'm like, that's what I'm still doing, baby. Coming at you, everybody. University of Delaware College Radio. Go Blue Hens. This song is from a local band called whoever sings Aleister Black's music. Yeah. Who sings this?
CFOs featuring the singer from Incendiary.
Oh, yeah. This song's very good. All right, everybody, we're back in action for your satisfaction with all our spicy, muy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Let me just introduce him because you already heard him. We are kicking it old school this week. It's just me and him, baby. The me and you love him. You hate him if you're a jerk. Nasty no man.
How about it?
Wow. Listen, since it's two of us today, will you be answering any questions?
No questions, please.
Wow, what a heel. He said there's bad guys for a reason, right? Just to make me seem like more of a good guy, right?
Yeah, yep. Which means I have to be a really, really bad guy.
And just because two of us, let's just give an intro. We don't normally do it. I'm not even sure he even likes it, but we got Phil Pesapani, the smooth operator in the producer's booth.
Smooth operator.
Phil, would you like to take a bow? Would you like to take a bow here? I know, yeah, you don't like when I do
mind,
this.
No, I don't mind it. I'm just never prepared with like a thing to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like you're an all-fair talent, but a talent nonetheless.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell? What's the first thing on your mind? Go. Say something. We can't, and this will not be edited.
I can't do it. No, I'm muting myself.
We won't be edited.
Go now. Most important moment of your life. Go now.
Go. Two trained improvisers on the microphone, but we want you. We want you to say something.
Phil
Pesapani, folks.
I can't do it.
Wow, he crashed and burned, folks. He tried. Actually, I would say he didn't try at all. You know,
I was honest with myself, and I just didn't try.
Yeah, that's right.
It was the safer bet.
He's in Long Island. He knows what's up. All right, listen. Before we get into all the spicy wrestling this week, and I got a lot to say. I always say it every week. I'm like, you know what? There's people are like, yo, these are lull times, daddy. But again, I'm liking some stuff that I'm seeing. Am I not liking some other stuff I'm seeing? That's par for the course, my friends. Watching wrestling is that a lot of it is very bad. But when it's good, it's good. And it's part of wrestling's strength. Part of its strength, it's what makes it hard to explain to people why wrestling is why we like it so much. It's like there is that like lull of like, okay, well, here's this match. This is clearly just bullshit, a throwaway. Some of this, oh, wow, that guy's just going to slip on a whoopee cushion. Yeah, that's going to happen. And you're going to be like, ah, that's terrible. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, yeah, it's AJ Styles, full pyro, head down, throws his head. It's like, he's been gone for 3 weeks. And I'm like, yes, give it to me. The phenomenal one, just screaming. One thing I love in professional wrestling, I pop for it every time, is the inaudible screaming and yelling to themselves when they're coming down the ramp.
One of the best. AJ had one of the best ones. I used to have a video of it where he was like, he comes down and he gives the two sweet, and then he literally, oh, what flavor is that?
Lime, duh.
He literally says, he's like, I'm too sweet. You see him, his mouth. He's like, I'm too sweet. I'll too sweet myself.
And and then he too sweets himself. That was the fucking best. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm too sweet, baby. You know it. I got like, yo, I would love it. We should do videos where we dub what over there.
Yeah.
One guy's just like, oh shit, I forgot to fucking, I think I left the stove on.
Yeah. He's like, keys, wallet, watch.
That's like one of the best things about wrestling, because you're like, what is that? Just to like psych yourself up? Because in real, do real fighters ever do that?
I feel, yeah, of course. Yeah. Like it's over. This is it. You're going down, all that kind of shit talk. I think even like people in street fights do that, like in real life.
Yo, speaking of street fights.
Yeah. Did you get in a street fight?
By the way, patreon.com/comedians of wrestling. Well, I got four topics going right now already on this show.
Right.
Many would argue incoherent mess. I would say like a Pollock masterpiece, you know, like everything lands where it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
But do you ever see that street fight? I'm sure you have. The one that's like the guy looks like Jeff Goldblum.
No.
You never see that street fight?
No.
Yo, there's this like viral video of like two guys. They're just fighting in the street, and one guy he looks like Jeff Goldblum. He's like a tall, drink of water white guy, and he like is so trained in martial arts. He's doing spinning back kicks against like some like homeless guy who just like goes down.
Wait.
Phil, you know what I'm talking about?
What's the name of this video?
I don't know how to find it exactly, but Phil, can you find that? We show it to Newman.
Yeah, what am I searching for?
I don't know. Jeff Goldblum, the guy who looks like Jeff Goldblum street fighting. Well, I saw it again recently because it was kind of a couple of years old because they put the Mortal Kombat music on it. It was very fun. Patreon.com / comedians of wrestling.
Put the link in the thing.
Yeah, you're going to love it, folks. This guy, this guy just goes for a straight up like Chuck Norris shit. In a street fight.
All right, I gotta see.
All right, while you watch
that. Hold on. This is a react video.
Oh.
It's like a 45-minute video of this guy reacting to it.
Oh, I hate YouTube. Keep going. I'll figure it out.
Here's the New York Post link.
Wow. Oh, reputable source, folks. By the way,
it literally is Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum look like gets into epic fight in viral video. I described that perfectly, did I not?
You did.
Patreon.com/comedians of wrestling, by the way, if you want to support this show and you want access to our bonus content. We do an AWNXT/whatever we didn't get to talk about here, wrestling talk, every Friday morning, me and Nick Tulo, the Supermark. Those are a good time. Plus, we have the Cal Movie Club, which is on just a short hiatus because Erin is on active jury duty right now. And so she can't watch media. She can't watch outs. If she watches a wrestling movie, that might influence her verdict. You know? You know what I mean? If you watch Batista in Bushwick. Yo, you saw the video?
Yeah. I'm going to break it to you. Both these guys are addicted to crack cocaine.
Yo, but that one guy has to be trained, right?
I mean, look at some of this guy's spin kicks, though. This guy is trained.
My favorite part. Hold on.
We'll post this video in the... we'll post this link in the description and for the YouTube and the... you want to show it? Can we show it here?
Yeah, we can show it.
You don't think this is copyrighted material?
No, it's not.
All right, let's watch it.
Hang on. Let me get it.
All right, before you play it, let me finish the plug. Yeah. Get access to that. Also, we're watching the KaoZoom Thunderdome. We'll be watching together Backlash on, I think it's the 17th? 16th, I believe. Yeah, it's the 16th. May 15th, we'll in the KaoZoom Thunderdome for patrons. So patreon.com, you can watch wrestling with us, get access to bonus episodes, get our brand new sticker, and get access to our Discord, which is dope. Plus, subscribe to our YouTube channel right now, youtube.com/C/Comedians Wrestling Podcast. I know, Phil, you don't have to write the C. I just think it's funny to say. And all right, now we're and also now we're gonna watch Jeff Goldblum. It looks like, what are they, in Bushwick?
Yeah, something. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're fucking all right, Bedford right. Stuy.
All right, let's watch it.
All right, but there's not gonna be any sound.
That's fine.
Okay.
Wait, pause it. Let me give it some sound.
Oh yeah, I know what you're gonna play.
Are you ready?
Yeah, go for it.
You know what I'm gonna play?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, I know. It's not what I thought.
now it's in Seattle. Now it's cross bar.
Right.
All right. These guys, Duke's up. This guy goes in front. Yo, this guy's throwing.
I mean,
serious.
Question.
Yo, that kick, no joke. Watch
you're
this.
Speaking. You're speaking of.
Yo,
a
that kick's no joke.
It's questionable technique, though. I mean, look. We bring this back.
Yeah.
There's no direction. There's no discipline. He just throws that thing. And then here's my favorite part coming up. Ready? The guy's like out for the count. Wait. He cues him up. He cues him up right there.
Yeah, he could just pummel
him.
Watch
it from, there's another angle.
That kick has to kill so bad. That's like right to the kidneys, right? It's like a liver kick.
Somebody was shooting it from above on the apartment building. So you get an above angle of that spin kick.
Yeah.
Nice spin kick.
It's a beautiful thing. I mean, this guy just walks away in utter defeat.
And there's
like,
more.
Oh, no. He's like, this guy just kicked my ass. I think this is just another angle of the same fight.
Yeah, it is. I mean, let's give the guy some props here for switching foot stance.
He does
in a
Mortal
fight.
Kombat. He went from fucking regular to goofy. Right?
Yeah. He hit L1 and R1 at the same time and switched his foot stance.
He beat the shit out of this guy. I got to give props to the other dude. It's kind of like badass to just walk away. He's like, oh, this guy's kicking my ass. I got to go.
I'm late.
How rare do you see a fight where somebody's just like, there's so much pride involved. They're like, I have to stay to get the full ass kick.
Only in wrestling. Only in wrestling does somebody roll out of the ring and be like, I'm done here.
Yeah, true heel fashion. Yeah. He came in like Miz style, like he has no technique. And then he got rocked and he's like, you know what? Screw this. This is not what
I'm done. What,
the classic wrestling, just like, this. You know what? This is not worth my time.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like back walking up the ramp, holding, you're always holding the ribs. Right?
Yeah, hold the back.
Oh, I love that. You know, I love this, a random thing, not where any other wrestling pod starting, although I, you know, we do what we do here, folks. I noticed Big E this week gave Apollo Crews a straight up abdominal stretch.
Oh yeah, it's one of isn't the abdominal stretch one of the pod's guys?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The abdominal stretch is one of my guys. I mean, as is Big E one of my guys, who I don't even think it's a bad place to start the pod. Cut a tremendous promo on SmackDown before. Mm-hmm. He did a pre-walkout promo, and you're like, this guy just is like almost – I had a thought for Big E, which is like, what – does he think about maybe being the new Ultimate Warrior?
Ah.
Like, where he kind of just is like – big high energy promo. Right. He's too sensical and smart to be the Warrior. That's the problem.
Right.
But he does have like a energy. Yeah. Where like you're like, I wouldn't mind seeing him at least tapping into a Warrior energy, full run around the ring, do like all that. I don't necessarily need to see him walk slowly and cool down the ramp. I can see him just being like, let's fucking do this. A little bit of like what Mojo couldn't pull off in the beginning. Like get hyped. You know what I mean? I think he might be able to pull that off. And I think his Wale music might have to be hit the floor because of that. Which or be revamped. I would listen to a Wale version of of the Warrior song. Here. Yo, imagine if he cuts that promo backstage where he's like, let's do it, baby! And then this hits, and you're like, something like this? coming at you, everybody. Everybody, rev up your Trans Am.
We're headed this song town. Needs is a halftime. It needs a halftime feel.
Well, it's 2 seconds away from going Panama. Oh, yeah. Right?
Pensacola.
Oh, man. Yo, when they scream Panama in the song Panama,
yeah,
are they talking about Panama City?
They're talking about the canal. They're talking about the civic
the lock system.
They're talking about the
intricacies of the lock system and rising the tides up and down so people can get through the canal. Right. That's the thing they didn't give him credit for. That's crew, right? Is that crew or is that Halen?
What?
I think it's Halen. Panama?
Panama is Sammy Hagar.
It's neither. Oh no, that's Halen, hell. Right? Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Is it? Oh yeah, cruising actually, down the avenue. Yeah, you're right.
It's actually reported on Howard Stern.
Yeah.
Interview with Howard Stern. The song was about a car. Panama was in the name of Roth's Opel Kadett.
You just know that off the top of your head?
Yeah, no, I just knew that.
Yo, they have a fun fact about Sammy Hagar. Mm-hmm. Besides the fact that as I've gotten older, I used to be a full-on David Lee Roth hailing guy. And it's like, yo, Hagar's whack, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, if we're going there, I would choose David Lee Roth over Hagar. It's not even close, you know?
Right.
But I've grown an appreciation for the Hagar hailing when I'm driving to the gym.
Mm.
Now, I know his songs are just whatever comes to his head. I don't think he writes any lyrics down. I think he just goes like, wow, here it comes. You know, and then he just goes through it and he's like, and I'm feeling this. He's like, we got it. We got it. That's why I feel like he rocks. Like this, I don't think there's much to his lyrics, you know. But I love just like the pipes of Hagar now as I get older. They're fun. The wailing pipes of a Sammy Hagar.
Yeah. I'm a Diamond Dave guy myself, but
oh, obviously, I mean, Jump is my go-to karaoke song. What is because I love going, whoa ho, who said that? baby, how you been? You know that part?
Yeah, we
gone, whoa, whoa, you don't know. You know?
Yeah. Say, whoa, who said that? Yeah, goes, that's the best.
Whoa ho, hey you, who said that? Baby, how you been?
That's there's great, a part
knowing that part when karaoke kicks in is like it's not lyrics, it's just
right,
like
you're doing the back ad-libs.
Yeah.
There's a part in Running with the Devil where he says, "Ooh, baby, you know I ain't lying.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you one more time." And he does. But he says time. He goes into like this like highest pitch, like sound ever. It's the best. There's like a vocal. There's like a vote. Yeah.
You,
like,
you need it. Only dogs can truly appreciate it.
Like a dolphin frequency.
That's awesome. So what I was saying about Hagar is he has his club is called Cabo Wabo and his tequila is called Cabo Wabo.
Right.
And so if you've seen that on the shelves, that's Sammy Hagar. And you know, when you're, if you're deciding, for me, it's always the classic dilemma, you know?
Uh-huh.
It's a Terramana or a Cabo Wabo, you know. I'm in there. I'm asking the clerk.
Right.
I'm like, hey, listen, how do they nurture the agave for Terramana versus a Cabo Wabo, you know? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I'm like, all right, fine, whatever. Just give me like whatever Tito's vodka.
Joaquin's, please. Banker's Club.
What's happening here? Oh yeah, wrestling pod. So what I was saying is there, but I noticed. So when I went to Cabo, there's a club Cabo Wabo. It was the first one. It was Sammy Hagar. I'm like, yo. Apparently, like when he's there, he performs every night, right?
Oh, boy.
So when you go, you're like, yo, maybe this will be a night where like just Hagar pops on stage, you know?
Right. Oh, you think Sammy's whispers? You think Sammy's gonna be here? Sammy's gonna be here.
Like,
oh,
and Sammy. So when I got there, they were like, yo, he was here last night, you know? And you're like, you missed it. I was like, ah, fuck. They opened the Cabo Wabo on Hollywood Boulevard, like in the Kodak Center, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, post-pandemic, I'm having one night at the Cabo Wabo. you want to come with me, Newman?
Yeah, we're going to. Yeah,
we'll just do one night at Cabo Wabo.
Yeah, we'll
it's going to be all tourists, right?
A couple of Cabo Wabo slobos.
$18 fucking Halo, like right here, right now's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. $22 Western cheeseburger with onion rings on it.
Oh man, I'll have the Why Can't This Be Love malt. Anyway, yeah,
I'll have the. It's all rock and roll theme, probably, right? So it's like, I'll have the.
I don't know.
I'll have the Sweet Home Alabama Slammer, and the Husker Du Hush Puppies.
All right, but well, this ties into the, actually what was my legitimate first topic here, which is like I do think Big E is missing out on tapping into he can really pull off,
yeah,
a warrior style energy.
Yeah, oh yeah, and, he can pull off anything.
Yeah, and that will I think really propel him. You know, mm-hmm. But they don't hire me to work there. Nor do I necessarily want that job. Okay.
Hey, and the winner of that match will go on to face Drew McIntyre for the
What?
Yeah, hey, you didn't hire me to work here.
Yeah. I do this for free, baby. I do this out of love. I do this.
It's one of my favorite, one of the best Seinfeld jokes where Kramer just starts showing up at that job and they go to fire him because he like hasn't been to any meetings or done anything. And he's like, Kramer, you're fired. And he's like, well, I don't even work here. He's like, well, that's what makes this so hard.
You ever hear Larry David tell the story of when George quits and like just comes back? And they're like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he talked about his SNL when he walked out and just came back the next week and no one noticed.
Yeah.
That's why he did that. It's based on that. It's so fucking funny. Like, and you buy it. You know how SNL works. It's like one week you're pissed, your sketch didn't get on the air, you leave, and no one notices because you're not even producing anything because you're showing it. And then you just come back Monday, you start pitching again.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. But we're talking about music. So on the other side of the spectrum, we have a new song this week.
Oh, great.
Roman Reigns debuted, finally, his new music. Just, you know. 1 month after WrestleMania, good timing. I think, well, I'll just say this and then let's listen to it and then react to it, right? But it's a completely different energy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's and it's cool because you get that full sense of like how much wrestling music matters to the ramp walk, you know?
Right.
And all right, I'll say no more. Let's listen and then we'll talk about it. I'll play. All right, I got a little bit of it. You get the idea. By the way, the quality is it's ripped right from the show, I believe, right? I don't think they put the actual track out yet. So that's the new Roman Reigns theme song, aptly titled Head of the Table. I want to go first on this. You mind, Newman?
Go for it.
Okay. Here's the thing with this song is that I think I'm not surprised that a lot of people are taking to it. They're like, they like it. I think it's a great first go. But I don't think it's good enough for Roman Reigns. It's good, but it's not good enough. And a couple of nitpicks on it, right? It perfectly fits his walking down the ramp. So if you watch him walking down, it's like it has what they're going for. It's obvious they're going for like a bit of like a mob boss vibe. Like he has that like it feels like the end of music of like a De Palma film or something. It has like that. It has that like crime vibe. You know what I'm saying? Feels like it could be in like one of those Safdie crime Brothers vibe. Movies. It's like Safdie Brothers movies, like you know, like Good Time or Uncut Gems. You know, because like that kind of vibe, which I think what they are going for Roman. But so I like that about it. But I would say this is that the beginning is I have a problem with, which is the because that's not. It's first off, it's the beginning of Bayley and Rollins' song is almost the same thing right now.
Yeah,
that's like more for Lex Luger style guy. Who's like, look at this specimen, you know.
Right.
Now Roman is a specimen, but he's way more specific than that. He's more of a tribal chief, right? Right. Now,
his gimmick isn't "I am a specimen," so it doesn't work,
right? Because if you go by, like, body, he doesn't have, like, the best body of all the guys. It's just he's the fucking tribal chief. He's jacked up. He looks awesome. But so what I would say is that why is his music not starting with Samoan chanting? I don't get it.
A haka or something?
Right. What, like, what the Usos would do when they used to enter with the face paint.
Right.
Why not have something like that? That would be amazing for him. No?
No, yeah.
Am I off?
Would. No, you're right.
This is a little just, it's a little like triple H-y for me. Like, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's generic. It's too generic for this character who's weirdly and oddly now a really specific talent, you know?
Yeah.
Where he was like kind of generic for such a long time. Literally like did like, oh, he does a Superman punch and he's the big dog, you know? And now he's the head of the table. He's the top. He's already established his dominance with the Samoan, like he's the top Samoan guy who's holding it down for the rest of them. Whether you like him or hate him, you gotta respect him and acknowledge that he is your tribal chief. Acknowledge him,
right?
So why doesn't his music either start with Samoan chants or it's saying "acknowledge me," and then the music hits? You know what I mean?
You think you acknowledge me?
You think you acknowledge me?
you think you acknowledge me?
Okay, but that being said, as it goes into it is good. I like it. It is cool. It does fit his vibe and stuff, but it's not. It's also similar, too close to Bobby Lashley's music. The whole thing. Mm-hmm. Where it's just like, look at this guy. It's less about look at this guy. It's more like, here comes the chief, man.
Right.
He should come out to hail to the chief, is what I'm saying.
That would be perfect.
Oh, my God.
And hail to the chief would be
hail
better.
Hail to the chief.
It would be better than this current song. I actually don't like it at all. I don't think there's a single redeeming quality to it. It sounds like Madden pause menu music.
That's why I think Phil likes it, by the way. It's very video game.
It sounds like the, you know, and this, I, you know, a better song, which is Cry Me a River by Justin Timberlake.
It does. Dun, oh, dun, my dun, God. Dun, you don't dun, have dun, to dun, say dun, what you dun, did. Dun, tribal dun, chief, acknowledge me.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that it does sound like that.
Yeah. Play it again.
Do we have Cry Me a River?
No, I don't think so.
We can't get that. Sorry.
No. Also, I want something really heavy to happen after this part.
It does sound like Cry Me a River. What you did, I found it from him. The judge you make it sad about it. Told me you love me. Tell you
it's the same key, even probably.
All alone. Why don't you call me Britney Spears? Me on the phone. Once I get refused, the dungeon fused, the solo with all the other guys.
Yeah.
Now it's your time.
Exposed.
To cry me a river. Roman Reigns is here. Roman Reigns is always here. Yeah. Free Britney, everybody. Acknowledge her.
Free Britney.
Well, Newman, it's one of your greatest calls in the history of the podcast. That is Cry Me a River. And also, now I will never not be able to hear that.
Yeah.
It is.
There's been two great calls, the other one being the Elias one.
Well, no, I think you're Baron Corbin, right?
Baron Corbin.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, what's the Baron Corbin one again?
It's My Guitar Gently Weeps, right?
Oh. Wow, My Guitar Gently Weeps. Do you see they released, by the way, you know the video of Prince wailing out to While My Guitar Gently Weeps? They released a director's cut of that.
Oh.
Meaning they edited the other camera angles that they had of Prince into
right.
it.
Yeah.
Very cool. You know, he like literally crowd surfs for a second.
Yeah, he was an alien, man. Like,
yeah. Wait, how does the, now I'm trying to think about the Baron Corbin song goes. Maybe I have it. Let me look.
Do you feel why my friend, sir? My guitar, yeah.
Yeah, but this one is even. This one goes through the whole song.
Bah, bah, bum, 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 bum.
Oh man! Well, so Phil, tell us about why you like the song, so we can make fun of you.
Well, I don't like the intro, but I like when it drops.
It looks good on him. If you watch the show, when he's walking down, it looks good on him. You know?
Yeah, you have to see the video with it and like see him walking down with it. And he knows that the track goes hard.
Yeah, man. I mean,
H-O-R-D.
The thing is, this is like, and you well,
I don't think the track goes hard.
Let's
see the thing's
this. What?
I don't think the track goes hard.
It doesn't go that hard. I mean, like, let's talk about the great songs of modern current wrestling right now, right? The ones that we like are always want to hear. They're like, I'm just gonna pull up the Alistair song for a sec. Like, the Alistair song, which is not a song anymore, by the way. Like, this is an actual song. So the Roman song is more of a track, which is totally fine, you know?
A theme.
But WWE music, that's okay. It can be just a theme. But WWE music is falling into a real pattern of generic right now, which is they really need to get CFO back, you know? Those guys are key. We got to hear this song. It's so good.
The best.
This song is so fucking good.
About to start spin kicking.
You think you know me?
The Edge song I adore.
This great.
But okay, there's not a good song. This becomes like what you call butt rock, right?
Butt rock, for sure.
But it's like,
too far to lose it all.
In the end, it doesn't really matter.
I'm sure they do it on purpose, bro. They have to do it on purpose.
The question really is that, so the reason I put on the Edge song is the question really is like, and
you see, the question really is.
The question really is that can Roman make it his own, you know? Right. And because sometimes the song makes the man, sometimes the man makes the song, you know? And, like, the Edge song is an example of, like, that song, if I heard it on the radio, wouldn't think twice about it. But when you see Edge enter and he runs to both sides and then he times the alive, you know, like that, and then he tweaked the beginning to have those drums hit because the original version of that song does not have those drums in it. He added the You Think You Know Me, then they added the smoke, right?
Right.
So they're like, they really got that to be like his entrance is a real thing, you know? And then, like, even the Rock song. If you It's not a particularly interesting or great song. It's all about how he carries the song, you know? Although I always point out with the Rock songs that it's a track, right? It's a theme. Well, then he just has, he's like, let's just have somebody solo over it, which is not in any other song. This is just, the song is more of a solo than a song. But here it hits out. Like, what other theme is just a solo? You know what I mean?
Right. I mean, and the thing is, I don't even knock, like I get, like, all the Jim Johnson stuff. Like, that guy had to, like, write so many different themes. They all had to sound different. Like, I don't fault.
His range was incredible.
Right, right.
Yeah.
His, you know what I mean? Like, so that's why, like, that is that a generic sounding theme? Yes, right? But, like,
yeah.
It was, like, one guy writing everybody's music. It all had to sound different, and he probably had to write it fast, right? So I totally get the, like, okay, I'm just gonna lay down this riff, here's the drums, here's the vibe. It's like sort of like it ascends because it's supposed to sound triumphant, right? But now, you know, when they had CFOs, right, who were like cued into good music and like what the trends are with like heavy metal, and that's why they can produce a track like Alistair's theme where it is a legitimate good track because it does stuff that modern heavy music is doing. Whereas the Roman track, it's in a new era where we know what they can achieve with themes because of CFOs, right. But it's as generic as just Jim Johnson trying to make a track for 80 different wrestlers.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I agree. It's not good. What I'm saying is that I hope they continue to work on it. You know, because it's just a bummer to have Roman, who's in this great zone, come out to a generic like,
I mean, I would even keep the
heat almost, you know,
keep the fucking like beep, boom, beep, beep, boom, beep, boom, boom. Right.
No, that part is good.
But pitch everything down like a whole step to make it heavier. I don't need the standard tuning bullshit. Make it just take it down a notch. Make it heavier.
What do you want to drop, D?
Drop, I mean, I would even say C, man. Let's like drop it two whole steps down. And let's go drop C. Keep the little dingle jangles.
Oh, good for you. Drop D. I mean, oh, good for you, bro.
Get some palm mutes. Fucking open chords are for so 1993. Get some palm muting, some chugging. You could resurrect this song. But
I love an open chord, baby. I like the car to I like a guitar to sing, baby. I want to hear the whole hollow part of the guitar, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Body. I like a full body, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm just saying stuff.
Semi-hollow body.
I like a nice semi-hollow body. That's my style of women too, folks.
Semi-hollow body?
I don't know what that means.
I'm trying to figure it out.
I would love if someone was offended by that and I have to be like, "Listen, I don't even know what that meant, but I'm sorry that it offended you." I struggle with having a semi-hollow body. I'm actually suffering from I would say if I had to describe what's going on with me, I would say that I have kind of, I'm grateful, but I have like a semi-charmed kind of life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, do.
Well, your tests have come back, and you have third eye blindness. So.
Yeah, you're blind in your third eye. Now you're just
hey,
operating.
Man, we're all blind in our third eye, bro. Because the
doctor's fluoride. Like, all right, let's get through it. Let's go through this. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, what a dire diagnosis. I think you should step back from that ledge, my friend.
Oh, well, listen, here's the thing is that I probably, as a doctor, I should have you move on to another doctor. But the thing is, I'll never let you go. I think that's their only other hit. No?
I don't even know.
But there's a lesser known song, which is a motorcycle drive-by, which is
Long Island's own, right? Third Eye Blind?
Are they from Long Island, or is that? Are you thinking of the ones who sing, this is the story of a girl?
I think Three Doors Down is from Long Island.
Wow. I mean, that makes more sense, because Third Eye Blind's actually not bad.
Or I feel like maybe Third Eye Blind is from maybe the Bay Area. That feels more right.
So
no way to find out.
Third Eye Blind's from San Francisco.
All right, I got a couple things to talk about here from going on in wrestling. Daniel Bryan's contract has expired, by the way. And I'm struggling with the work. This is clearly a work, you know?
Right.
It might be a work shoot, but like WWE is not going to have you main. Listen, they're not going to have you main event WrestleMania to go to AEW. You know what I'm saying? Let's not be dumb, people. Let's not be filthy marks. You know what I mean? Not to mention, Daniel Bryan at this point is ending his career in WWE. Could they even be kinder to him? You know what I mean? Like, he's clearly coming back. Now, I do believe there's a chance he goes to NXT. Mm-hmm. I can really see it. Which means I have to give props to Tulo for bringing that up. I didn't see that happening, and I kind of don't see it happening, but there's a chance it's something he's interested in doing, you know? What do you think?
I mean, I think...
Does he just pop up on Raw? What do you think's going on with Daniel Bryan here? I mean, he's clearly going to be gone for like 3 months right now, you know?
Yeah. Is he...
You know, he got a concerto, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, that's usually the see you later.
It's a vacation. In wrestling, that's something I love about wrestling. That's a wrestling... You get a concerto, it means go on a... Here, take... have a nice trip to the Bahamas.
Right. Yeah, like I imagine, like if you're like at a 9 to 5, like you're going on vacation, and before you go, it means like your boss has to put you through a table, yeah. So they can justify, you know, why you're out for 2 weeks.
Like the recent concertos that I remember, right, is Matt Hardy got a concerto from Randy before he went to AEW. The way to send you on your way. Send me on my way. And then right now, Daniel Bryan on his way out got a concerto. And then Edge got a concerto, right? And then disappeared for like 4 months or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'll start with a general opinion and I'll try to make it to Daniel Bryan. But like something just popped into my head is like this idea that we do have like, so he goes to NXT, right? And there's this idea that like there's two different versions of wrestling that we're watching. There's like wrestling, the art form, where it's like a simulated fight and there's a story told through who's going to win. There's like they sell, oh, my arm's hurt. And then he like, you know, blah, blah, blah. Right. And then there's like the wrestling where it is like people throwing tomatoes at people in the ring. And it's all very like character story stuff. I'm wondering if we'll ever see, or if those two things should be always separate, like should there always be two different styles of wrestling that we're seeing in like one show? But I would love to see Daniel Bryan in NXT. I think it would be fun, just because of the fact that his matches are fun. I would like to see him go against anybody I can think of down there, including even Karrion Kross. But yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing him in NXT. I just think it's weird how there's like two different, you know what I mean? Like, oh, there's like wrestling. Yeah. And then there's wrestling that is like, I don't know, the Usos and Roman Reigns pouring dog food on Baron Corbin.
You know, it's so right, but I have to tell you something. I watched wrestling. I saw everything this week, Raw. I mean, I see it every week, Raw. Right. I watch it in different patterns, you know?
Right.
But this week I had the time to watch. And as a matter of fact, I watched Raw and NXT yesterday night. I watched NXT live and then I watched Raw. I watched, that's 5 hours, folks, of wrestling,
right.
You know? And I'll take one step backwards, which is there's too many hours of wrestling. And the reason there's too many hours of wrestling is that they hit that zone. Raw is obviously the biggest culprit. All right, this is a boring conversation. No one disagrees about losing that 3 hour of Raw. The only time I ever was pro that third hour was when I was writing on The Wedding Coach.
Right.
And I was had wrestling on in the background, you know? And I was like, when I'd be up at night, it kind of helped me. Just the glow of wrestling helped me. I wasn't even watching with sound because I was writing, you know? And so, it makes wrestling, even if you love it the level I do, the amount of it makes it a chore, you know? Mm-hmm. And it sucks. It sucks to feel that way. It's like, when I used to watch Raw, I said this before, when Raw would end when I was in high school, I'd sit down at 8 p.m. and it would end at, was it 10 11. Or 11? I think it ended at 11, right? It was 3 hours then too. Then it went back to 2 at some point, but it was 3 hours when I was a kid, when I was in high school, and Attitude Era. And like, when that fucking trademark thing would pop up, I'd be so upset. When I would see it at 11 o'clock and then it was 11:07, like, I 11, I'd be like, well, we get like 7 more minutes. Like, I consciously like crave those 7 minutes, you know?
Right.
And you could argue some of that's because of how I've gotten older and how the world has changed with the way we consume media. There's always something else to get. You're not at the whim of when stuff airs. I didn't even have a DVR then. You know what I mean?
Right.
I remember like my brother would change the channel by accident and I'd be like pissed because I missed 4 seconds that I can't go back and see, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah, like the days of that is like long gone. You know, I used to, it was always the fucking remote was always broken because my TV, you couldn't turn on without the remote, you know, because like the button was, we lived 3 boys in my house. So like the thing was like jammed in, right? Like we always pressed everything too hard in my house. You know what I mean? And so it'd be like, all right, the thing, you'd either have to turn on my TV with a pencil, a sharpened pencil, because it needed the extra like narrowness and length, you know? Like, you'd have to go press in to turn on, or you have the remote. I never knew where the remote was, the batteries. So it'd be sometimes I turn on Raw at, like, 8:20, and I'd be devastated, you know?
And I have to first 20 minutes of Raw could be the best 20 minutes.
If you're talking about, let's put those times into perspective. What you missed was
these are huge
8
times.
O'clock on the dot, right?
Right, right.
Right. And I'd be upset if I missed the actual just glass shatter.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, you turn it on 8:01 and he's already walking down to the ring.
No, I want them to be like, I want to hear King and Lawler be like, welcome to Minneapolis, everybody. We got a capacity crowd. And they're panning all the signs and everything. Yeah. And then you're like, who's coming out first? Who's coming out first? Oh! Right? Now, that... I mean, I'm so removed from all that just because of the COVID is even like taking us so far back. And clearly we're not in that kind of level of wrestling. Like the wrestlers are just not over in that way. They're not star. Right. They're not. They don't have that kind of. A lot of them don't have that level of star power. Only a couple. I mean, honestly, what, 2? It's just Cena and The Rock right now, who are guys who could potentially walk through and just. Like melt
or also literally stone cold. Yeah,
that's true. If the glass shatters, they still go equally nuts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even more nuts now because of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's the best ever, so it just is what it is. But okay, so all this was to say is that like now it's just too much content where they've missed the like leave them wanting more is just gone. Right now, there's an argument to make against it, which is that like wrestling's becoming, there's a lot more wrestlers. We need more stage for talent.
Right,
but if we track it to UCB, right, which we always do, like where we came up doing improv, there was an improv boom. They opened up more stages, and then improv felt less special. It just is what it is. There, you know, it doesn't mean you. It's not the move. It's not what you do. But you know what I mean. But it doesn't mean that's what you do. But. It's kind of this inevitable thing. Like nothing gold can stay. That's what's that band? That's the thing. One of those stupid bands, Newfound Glory. they had nothing gold could stay. It's a quote, I think, from Wizard of Oz. Phil probably knows exactly what I'm talking about, but right. You can't really control the when something's small and it's growing or whatever. All right, I don't want to get too far away from it. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. That being said, there's exhausted watching those 5 hours. Now, was specifically when I was watching Raw and NXT in the same night, I had to say, people are like, Raw sucks. I thought I enjoyed it more than NXT last night. I thought it was better. I'll be honest. Now, right. as a whole product that has a whole extra hour to it, it has more bad segments than, right? You could right. do math.
Right.
But man, oh man, NXT is lacking for me in star power right now. And it is failing to engage me in a way where if I'm being truly honest with myself. And when I watched the show last night, I was like, thank God for Cameron Grimes on that show. Because I was like, he was like, all right, this is a fun segment. But even that, I wasn't like crazy into his segments either. And it brings me to, I have a couple points about NXT, which I'm sure I'll argue with Tulo on the bonus episode about it. Because Tulo, anytime I say NXT is bad, he goes, you just don't like it. Right, that's his argument. It's just not for you. And I'm like, it's not true. There are things I like in it, mm-hmm. right? Like, I like Walter. Like, I'm like, when Walter shows up, that guy is interesting. I'm like, this guy has a cool, when like, the Nazi music hits.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is, right? Can we just call it that? I mean, like, he's like a Nazi
yeah.
officer, right?
Yeah.
right? He comes out. I'm like, this guy's chopping people. It's fucking fun. I liked it when I watched it at PWG.
Right.
Okay. But let's talk about a couple of moments from NXT this week. And then I just want to know why people shit so hard on some of the writing on Raw, which the writing on Raw right now is actually, some of it, is decent. Mm-hmm. I like what they're doing with Sonya and Adam Pearce. I think that's fun. Charlotte is in a killer zone right now. Killer. Charlotte is more interesting than the whole 2 hours of NXT for me. Okay?
Yeah.
But let's talk
especially,
about
especially yeah. Monday, man. She was like, I mean, dear God.
She's in insane shape right now, right?
Yeah.
She leaned yes. out like a motherfucker. I mean, oh, yeah. she is a super athlete. And mm-hmm. she's work shoot where it's like, you're like, she says she's the best and then she is the best. That's the best zone. You know what I right. mean? That's what Roman Reigns is in the same zone. You know, where you're like, yeah, you might be the best guy right now. I don't know what else to say, you know?
Right.
So
right.
when you say you're the head of the table, I can't really argue with it. Now, that being said, here's some moments from NXT. Okay. And I guess I'm the bad guy for pointing this out. I would kill for a personality like that.
Yeah.
Or like a drunk with a ponytail.
Oh, man, oh, man.
Toothpick in his mouth, full chest hair, huge. I mean, huge. This guy was huge, Scott Hall.
Let's put this in perspective. This was a huge man.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah. You but go back and watch, it's insane how big he was.
Yeah, he's huge, and kind of crazy. Never was the champion because of his own demons, really. You know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, but kind of quintessential Intercontinental champion.
Yeah, but he was way bigger than that. I mean, like, he right. was championship material through and through. He had sure. charisma. He looked like a
machismo.
Women loved him. Men wanted to be him. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
He was the Austin Powers of his time. So, but here's the thing. Having an Austin Powers.
Hang on
Powers
a second. I got to shut my window because the guy's fucking blowing leaves.
I can't hear it, though. So
you can't hear it? All right. No. Mind. We're good.
Maybe. Phil, you hear it?
I don't hear anything.
All right. Anyway, so let's go to NXT this week. Here's two jokes from NXT this week, okay? The right. hip new wrestling show, okay? Hipper than anything going on Raw, okay? I'm not defending the Raw, by the way. What I'm doing is being realistic with NXT, okay?
Right.
Is one of the jokes was Scarlett is sitting with Regal. Okay, and Scarlett, I love Scarlett, okay? And she's sitting with Regal, and Austin Theory's in there with Gargano, and he's like, oh, my God, those are huge because her breasts are out, right?
Yeah.
Those are two huge things, you know? And you're like, okay, what's he going to say? Okay, all right, it's clearly her nails. It's the only big thing she has on her. I'm 5 seconds, I'm a full minute ahead of this joke, and then he's like, your nails! Your nail, that's yeah. awful. That is yeah. so unfunny. And honestly, that's as bad as anything on Raw. So stop giving NXT a pass, right? If that's their jokes. In the same show, okay, Frankie Monet left her dog in Shotzi's tank and it yeah. took a shit. And they're like, oh, it's disgusting. He shit in my tank, you know?
Right.
Now, I guess I don't hate the idea if Frankie's thing is that she has her dog shit on people's stuff. But it is shit humor, you know? And so, now, that all being said, I didn't like that. I mean, do you think those jokes are good, Newman?
No.
Okay, just checking. I want to make sure you get a chance to respond. Okay, so then Karrion Kross comes out in the show, right? And it dawns on me. Then Kyle O'Reilly comes out. Then Pete Dunne comes out. And then Finn Balor came out. And you're like, oh, I don't like Karrion Kross at all. And I'm like, but he is the champion of this show. I don't know what else to tell you guys. Like, he's looks dominant. He is a lot bigger than these guys. Kyle O'Reilly came out. He's wearing a fucking fedora now. You seen this? You heard about this? I mean, he looks like a little kid. He's like Ducky from fucking from Pretty in Pink or whatever. You know,
Kyle.
You see him? He's wearing like and he's tiny. And you're like, and then no one in NXT can cut a truly not no one. I'll give you a couple of exceptions. Can cut a truly for a show that's based in like Tough Guy Alley. Can cut a truly believable, I'm gonna fucking kick your ass, I'm mad at you promo.
Right.
Now, one guy who can, Adam Cole, is pretty good. Again, pretty good. Too generic for me, but pretty good, you know? Not the level to be one of my guys. I had to give him the, you know, had to have, he had to fall from grace. Had to, knock him off the bench. Yeah, had to shock the system. We had to slide someone into the bench seating so he fell off the bench. You know what I mean?
Right.
At the picnic table. Classic trick, bully style. And I was just like, this show is just boring. Like, even the Grizzled Young Vets came out, and I was like, all right, this promo, like, they're doing a promo to the crowd, which is like, oh, you guys make me sick, I want to go home. And it's like, there's no crowd. So I guess it's not their fault, but it was like, I'm seeing no heat from these guys. They don't look impressive. It just was a show where you're like, then like Shotzi and Ember Moon, they're not believable. It's just, I don't know. To me, I'm sorry. I just was watching Amateur Hour is what I felt like I was watching. They're rebuilding. That's okay, but let's call it that. Yeah, Ciampa looks like $1 million. Ciampa cuts great, believable, tough guy promos. There's a lot of show to fill right now.
Right.
You know, and they lost Velveteen Dream. They lost Matt Riddle. They lost Ricochet. So they might need Daniel Bryan to come down over there. But the state of NXT is extremely poor for me right now. I'm really not into it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Kushida does nothing for me. He's the the cruiserweight champion. You know,
I was talking to Smooth Operator Phil.
One last thing. Sorry, Newman. I just want to say this one thing. Now, the women's division is fun. It's the best part of the show by far. I like the women's division. I like what they're doing. But Raquel Gonzalez and Mercedes Martinez, like, they're doing a segment. And I'm zoning out. I'm not feeling the heat at all. Right. You know? Now, Raquel, I have a lot of faith in. She really does look good. And if NXT is the development league that it is, because look what it did for Rhea, then this is a great spot for her to be the champion there and harness it, because she has a lot of potential to come up on the main roster. But as a finished product, I'm not sure I need to see this right now, a lot of it. Yeah, okay, go.
No, I was just going to say, I mentioned to Phil that I forgot that NXT was on Tuesday yesterday, and we both realized that, like, every episode since it's been on Tuesday, we've forgotten that it's on Tuesday, which... I kind of speaks to what you're saying, which is like there isn't like a
draw.
I feel like I used to watch NXT every Wednesday, like when it was on the network. Mm-hmm. And then somewhere around the time it came to TV, it was just sort of like it stopped having that feel of being something you had to see.
It's really lacking it right now. And it's okay to be honest, guys. Like, it's okay to be like, NXT's in the Jabron zone. It's okay. AEW is like, I mean, I'm about to watch Blood and Guts tonight. I mean, AEW is like flying right now as far as I'm concerned. Right. But it's fine. Comparing them is silly. AEW seems to have they're way more resources apparently, and they're in terms of talent, and their talent doesn't get plucked like that. You know what I mean? NXT, it's rough, man. They pretend to be their own brand, but their talent gets plucked when they're cooked, you know?
Right.
That's that. If I was Triple H, I'd just be like, this is so fucking frustrating, you know? Mm-hmm. Matt Riddle was never even the champion, you know?
Right.
Now, he's better off because let's just jump to Raw and talk about some. RK-Bro, love it.
It's working. It's working.
Love it. A blast. Riddle did the arm thing, and you're just sitting there being like, is Randy going to embrace him and give him his arm thing? And he didn't do it yet, right. You know? But you see Randy gave him a fist, and you're like trying to win over Randy Orton. What a great spot for Matt Riddle. He's not going to do it. I mean, you know we're just waiting for that RKO, right?
Here's what's going to happen. They're going to get a title shot, a WWE tag team title shot, and then Randy's going to turn on Riddle in that match, and then it's going to set up their feud.
Yes.
Because they don't need to be near the belts. That'll just be the red herring, and then in that match, he'll turn on him, and then that's what's...
Yeah, like what it should be like when the pin is laid out, like it's like almost is down, you know?
Yeah.
RK Bro versus AJ almost is like maybe the first exciting tag match in years for WWE. Right or wrong?
I mean, I don't know. I can't think of it, but there might be one.
There might be one we're not thinking of, right?
Yeah.
But so like if there's a spot where Riddle can go for the pin and they'll clearly win, but right. Randy just stunners it, RKOs him and walks off, and it's just like, I'll be champion with that fucking idiot. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Cut to fucking Survivor Series, Randy Orton versus...
Randy Orton is such a snake. It's so great.
Yeah.
But then Riddle, I have fun with Riddle. I think Riddle's in a really fun spot for him. Good for him. RKO picks up their second win, and they're playing it like... Their record, they literally are like, there's their second win. Like, they're keeping track of their record for us. That's great. I like that. Now, the, Lashley, McIntyre, Strowman, it's, you know, I don't care about that at all. I have nothing to say, you know?
Yeah.
Seems to have no heat behind it. But the only other thing I'll bring up from Raw, and then we can get out of here. Oh, I have two things, and then we'll get out of here, is... Sonya Adam Pearce thing is very cool. Like, I don't know exactly where they're going with it, and I don't even really understand Sonya's role per se. But her like constantly being like letting Charlotte back in the building and just being like Charlotte. Is Sonya going for like an alliance with Charlotte, or is she just like, yo, Charlotte's best for business, so I'm doing that? It's kind of unclear where they're going with that. But yeah. I think either one, Pierce like approached Sonya and was like, what the fuck are you doing? You're like undercutting me. What's going on here? That's the structure I've been craving for the show for a while. I think that's really fun.
Oh, I loved, by the way, I loved the be fair to Flair. Like,
oh, Monica, like just the catchphrase.
Be fair to Flair. Well, because like the vibe I got from it was that it was like, be fair to Flair. And she's like, you know what I'm saying? Which is like, I'm a Flair, so do what I tell you to do.
Right.
Be fair to Flair, you know? Like, be fair to Flair.
It's a wink. It's like, like Cuomo shit.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I like that. I think that's really fun. I think Charlotte is in just such a sweet spot of like, and I think, to be honest, Peyton Royce is directly responsible for the zone Charlotte's in right now she cut those promos, and then everyone started getting into the zeitgeist to like give other women a chance over Charlotte, and they're riding it in kayfabe, and they're like, hey, Charlotte's like essentially saying, I know you guys are upset with me, but I am the best.
Right.
And then like Rhea Ripley comes out, cuts a pretty mediocre promo, but it kind of works because Charlotte's whole thing is like, you're just like not that good. Right. You see her wrestle Dana Brooke? She was just slapping her around, right? She was just
I can't say enough.
You're my protege. You're still my protege.
Yeah.
She was like slapping her face.
I mean, her and Roman are in the same zone.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same exact stratosphere that they're in. Same level. Executing on the same exact level.
All right. Last thing before we go. Karrion Kross's outfit is the last thing I want to talk about. Yo. I'm going to give you my hot take on that outfit, which is that I like it.
Oh, no.
Karrion Kross came out dressed like as the son of a bar mitzvah photographer.
Yeah.
He dressed like a bar mitzvah photographer. Like a lot of people who are working events, right?
Yeah.
They need to be like active and agile, but they need to also be formally dressed. So the vest with the shirt underneath, right? So you don't have you're not inhibited by the jacket, is a very I'm working an event look. It's a bar mitzvah dancers, DJ dancers dress like that. So they get the arms going. Magicians. Yeah. There was a magician at my bar. I just recently rewatched my bar mitzvah. There was a bar. We had a magician there. And he also walked on stilts.
You're reviewing tape? Like, what are you doing?
Going back to the tape. And my dad said, I had it. My dad sent it to me. So I just was like, oh, let me watch it.
Right.
My mom was rocking out at my bar mitzvah, by the way. Maybe I'll show that on here one day. Really having a blast. I'll tell you this. My bar mitzvah was a rocking party. People were – it was a hit, man. And I'll be honest. I was watching the beginning. I was like, yo, this felt like a bigger event in my head than it was. But then it's just people were – they were trickling in. You know what I mean? They were getting sauce somewhere at the bar. But once people got sauced up and the music was pumping, it was – full dance floor. I mean, capacity crowd. People were going nuts, man. The COVID was spreading in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a cool thing to say.
Yeah.
But I just mean, you can't help but think about COVID when you see a packed dance floor with no masks anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But he was dressed like the stilt guy at my bar mitzvah. And but listen,
He looked a little bit like the concierge at like a 3-star hotel.
Yeah, it looked like he was dealing in Reno. You know what I mean? Like a blackjack table.
Not Vegas.
Reno.
No,
definitely not Vegas. No. Yeah. Maybe like further down the strip. You know what I mean?
He's got warrants in Vegas, so he doesn't go there.
Yeah, no. But yeah, I mean, look, I guess for me, it's like that shit is wrestling, but also it's taking him out of spooky boy territory, which is, I think, a good move for him. But yeah, his promos are very generic tough guy. Very like, I'm the best. I'm going to slam you on your head. You're dead. Your time is now. What I mean? Like, just.
Fact of the matter is.
Just nothing. Just absolute nothing. Right? And Triple H did that for years. And he could do it because he also was had an extra 40 pounds of muscle on him.
Right.
So, but I'm interested to see where they go with it.
Karrion Kross is a little bit like Double H.
He's KK, but he should be HH.
Yeah.
Harry and Hoss.
Look, not to get, he probably is a little HH, if you know what I'm saying. But the, we'll move on from that.
Do you, you saying he's on HGH?
No.
What are you saying? I don't even understand. Is it too scandalous?
No. I'm saying, based on his tattoos, he's probably down with HH.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Okay, he's okay, I got it. So listen, folks. But he is kind of the guy to beat on the show, really. Like, it's either him or Walter, because it's like, I don't know, man. You get it really, it's 8 p.m. on USA Network, like the same time as Raw, the next night. Can Kyle O'Reilly be the champion of that? I mean, maybe I'm being too hard on this guy, but he is puny. Yeah.
He's perfect. He's a perfect second character.
And his promo's not good either.
Right. But I mean, like, he's perfect. He has that kind of like the PWG style of like of wrestling. He is a perfect sidekick. He was perfectly placed in Undisputed Era. I don't think he has the quality of somebody who would like get my attention as like a main guy. Yeah. But he's good. Obviously, he's Kyle O'Reilly. He's amazing. But like, not everybody can be the guy.
No. And Karrion Kross is unfortunately the right move for them right now. I don't even know what else to say. Where is Velveteen Dream? And can we just
release him already?
Can we just release him or forgive him? Because it's a fucking bummer, that guy. What is he, just sitting on the shelf? Like, or because he's not released, right?
No, they haven't said anything.
Why can't this guy just come out and just be like, yo, I'm sorry for the shit I did or something? Because it sounds like he didn't do anything too bad from what we know. Arguably bad. Whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, he doesn't seem irredeemable to me from what I know.
I mean,
you know?
Yeah, it depends, right? It's like if the, you know, the accusations are that he was grooming underage boys, So, like,
is that what he was doing? Whatever. I don't know why I'm even going. I go here every time because
I'm saying,
the like, show needs him so bad, you know?
Right. Or they need somebody like him who hasn't.
I don't know if there's anybody like him. You know
there
what I mean?
Yeah.
To be honest, is that the personality fit the gimmick? You know what I mean? It's a, it's hard to separate the man from the art when that's where your art is, you know?
Right.
But right. I didn't know if he was, I just know that there was, he sent some messages to one particular, one particular 17-year-old, kid, and they found that, right?
Right. I'm saying that, if you were to start to make the case that he should come out and be speak on it and be forgiven in some capacity, the argument against that that you will encounter is that he was grooming underage boys.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
But so what is WWE's plan with something like that? Like, it seems like right now what they do is they – it feels like they know it's pretty bad, and that's why they just are keeping their mouths shut. Because yeah. Wouldn't they just do kind of what they did with Riddle, where they asked about the Riddle thing, and then Triple H was like, we found nothing there, right?
Well, they said that about this, too.
Oh, maybe I'm conflating the two.
Yeah, they said we investigated it and didn't find anything.
Yeah. I want to hear from you guys in the Discord, and I'm going to start doing this more.
But the kid who broke this story and said it was him that he was doing it to said the WWE never actually reached out to him.
Right.
For any interview or comment.
They didn't want to send him a garbage bag or something? All right. Listen, I don't even like where we're headed here. I just like the Velveteen Dream as a wrestling talent. You know, he was a 23-year-old guy with a ton of promise, a vision for a character that, like, which is what I'm kind of interested in personally. But we all have our different styles, you know? I would even argue what I would say is that NXT, what I would say, even the matches this week when I was watching, I was like, these matches are good, but they're not, like, totally blowing me away either in style. Whereas, like, AEW matches are, like, a fucking blast.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I mean, I'll just watch Brian Cage drill claw the whole roster for 2 hours, you know? anyway, whatever. Let's get out of here. I got a bunch of shit to do today, folks. But I think we said too much. Many would argue we said it all. That's my homage, my tribute to Howard Stern. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Get extra to our bonus episodes. We'll be back Friday talking about Blood and Guts on the Friday morning episode. Also, the Cal Movie Club. We'll give you more details next week about when it's going to be returning. We want to include Aaron because Aaron organizes the Cal Movie Club. So thank you for your patience on that. We will make it up to you with a bonus episode or two. We've already been watching some extra stuff. So that'll be there. And plus, we'll watch Backlash together on Zoom. That's all. Just join for a couple bucks a month. You get to hang out with us, watch wrestling, get access to bonus content. And you're supporting an independent wrestling podcast. So go to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Cool. All right. Hey, let's get out of here. Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses. Cheers all.